This is Painting on Glass, the Marcus Sozel podcast in English language. Listen to the stories and reflections of a singer-songwriter and author.
Hold on, take me back. Hold on, take me back. It's like painting on glass. Leave a note on your door. Tell me what you're looking for. It's like painting on glass.
This is episode 44, a holiday special with Sheila Alderson, singer and dear friend from the north of England. Be a part of a very special occasion and join in the conversation between two experienced singers when I have the pleasure to be invited into her beautiful home.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, you came born today. And men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say. That men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'd like to introduce a guest, a singer from Yorkshire, England. But most of all, I'd like to introduce a good friend for more than three decades, Miss Sheila Alderson.
Hello, Marcus.
Hi, Sheila.
Nice to be here with you.
Thank you so much for being with me today. Yeah. All right. Really looking forward to this for quite a long time, and I'm glad that we can do this Christmas episode.
Yes, me too.
Yes, all right. So I got a few questions for you, and I'm so dearly interested in what you're going to say about that. And my first question would be, so what can you tell us about the north of England, about Whitby, your hometown, where you came from?
Well, Whitby, I was born outside of Whitby, actually, in a little fishing village called Skinnygrove, to start off with. I moved to Whitby as a teenager to find work, found a lovely little job in a hotel, and I fell in love with Whitby. It was one of the most beautiful, beautiful little places I've ever seen. A little fishing town, it had its own shipyard, it was directly on the North Sea. Mm-hmm. Every day I could go for walks. It was fantastic. In between working time in the evenings, and especially on a morning when it was really nice and windy in the winter times.
Sounds lovely.
Yes, it was. Lovely. It was really, really nice. We had lots of tourists. Lots of tourists came because we had so many special things. We had a beautiful Whitby Abbey.
Oh, wonderful.
Which actually you had to get up there with 199 steps.
Oh, wow. That's quite a lot.
And many people have gone up these steps over the years. Many people, famous people, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah. And they made a lot of films in Whitby.
Oh, lovely.
One of the famous films was, of course, Dracula.
Right. You know that one?
Yeah, there was a young author came to England, came to Whitby, actually, and... yeah, he was inspired about Whitby and the Abbey and decided to write the book about Dracula. Stokes, I said.
Yeah. Sounds so interesting. Wow, yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's one thing I'd be interested in. Do you still have the sea in mind? I know people who come from the sea, you know, they got a certain heritage and they still have the sound of the sea roaring in their ears. Yeah. And they always long to go somewhere to meet the sea again, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yes, oh, definitely. When I was a child, I used to sit where I was born. As I say, I used to sit on the sands, and I used to imagine I was going to travel abroad in all different places, and used to sit for hours and hours. That was my playground.
That's wonderful.
And then when I came to Whitby, it was right on top of the cliffs where I lived. Oh. You know, that was just fantastic. You know, it was really, really nice. Uh-huh. But you just never forget it. It comes to mind that I remember when I was at school, I was one of the children who wrote a little poem. Mm-hmm. And I got first place in the school.
I never knew that. Is that right?
I feel the breeze run through my hair while seagulls fly without no care. The calm waves run up the sand, and there I sit upon this land.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks so much. Oh.
See, I just learned there again.
It's wonderful. That's one of the first times I've read in this episode. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Great. We had, there's a great tradition you have in England. Yeah. It's called carol singing. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Since I was a child, I used to go with my father and my sisters. I have three sisters. We used to go carol singing. Now, carol singing was door-to-door, singing Christmas songs and collecting a bit of pocket money for the Christmas time for presents.
That's
just
right.
Small presents.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the 60s. Mm-hmm. And my father was a really good singer also, my auntie too. So we used to go with my father from door-to-door. He'd stand around and just watch, you know, to make sure everything was okay. And we used to sing beautiful songs. And we really loved it. It was part of Christmas. It made the build-up to Christmas, you know, these beautiful songs. And then we used to collect our money. And sometimes the people would come out, especially if we were under the lampposts, you know, where the light was.
Yeah.
They'd bring us mince pies out.
Oh, wonderful. You know? Oh, delicious.
Homemade.
Delicious. Delicious.
Yeah. Or even a cup of tea.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, a cup of tea, something to drink. And then we'd carry on to the next door. And, you know, it was really nice for the older people because where I grew up, we had like a little circle where older people lived all together.
Okay.
The families lived in council houses. And so we used to go into the middle and we used to sing, you know, and the older people really enjoyed it. You know, it was really special. And all the churches do it. They still go around also, even today,
mm-hmm.
you know, carol singing. It's still a big thing.
Yeah.
No, I always did it. And this is why, as I got older, I decided I wanted to still carry on singing these Christmas carols.
Yeah, I could see
yes.
it.
Yeah, that's why I still do.
Yeah.
I don't get that much money for doing it no more.
That's right. We just had the chance to share it 30 years ago, I believe.
Yes,
so 30 years ago.
Right, yeah.
Oh, Lordy, Lord.
Yeah.
30 years ago.
I remember I wanted to do that for my father.
It's nice.
You know, because he really loved singing. He really did. I learned all my songs from my dad. You know, he used to go upstairs and he used to be singing away and I used to listen.
He was a real important person to you, I guess, huh?
He was only later in life he came to visit me at one time.
Yeah.
And he said to me, oh, I didn't realise you knew all those songs.
That's nice.
Yeah. I said, yeah, well, I learned them all from you, Dad.
It's beautiful. Well, this is a good chance to listen to one of the songs. Okay, we go to just go for one of the songs.
Yeah,
here we are.
Yeah. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
Well, Well, let's talk about a singer's life. You know, we both are singers. Also, just same as you, I'm doing the songs and I'm writing songs, and you love to sing the songs. And that's wonderful, wonderful, side by side. So what do you think? Does music help in life? Is there an ability of music to help in life?
Music is so special in life. It's a gift when you can sing. And music in everywhere, anything you can do, instruments, anything. I started when I was a really small child. I just loved to sing. It was something I dreamed of, something I could hide behind every time life wasn't just going as I wanted it to do when I was a child.
Yeah.
I could start to sing and I felt totally different. And this is why my father used to sing a lot. And this was really interesting for me because the older I got, I was more interested in music, more mm-hmm. interested in singing.
Yeah.
And traveling and finding other people who mm-hmm. sang as well and, mm-hmm. and played music. You know, and it made me a different person. It makes you a totally different person when you have music in your head most of the time.
Yeah.
And as I say, when I got older, I started to travel abroad.
Yeah.
I went to Africa, Turkey, lots of different places. And you could always meet and greet the people with music wherever you went to, even if you didn't speak the same language.
It's music. International, I guess. Huh? It's international language.
Together.
International language, music yeah, as an yeah. international language.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. And it's been with me all my life, singing. You know, there was a time when I stopped, when I was sort of like teenager, where I was getting on with other things, working and traveling first. And then I started to start to sing with different little groups in England, in Whitby, we used to have bars. When I was traveling, I'd just sing when I was out in Africa.
Wonderful.
And just sing on the streets, you know, if it was possible in Italy and places like that.
A great place to do so.
Yeah.
The streets are always good to sing,
Especially when I needed a bit more extra money. It was it was easy those years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people are still doing it, but I used to travel with my sister a lot.
Wonderful.
And I used to say, well, you know, you have to back me up, do the backing music. She says, I can't sing.
That's wonderful.
I said, just do the backing music. And she did, yeah. So that was made me really happy. And as I say, then I travelled, came to Germany, met many different kinds of people, did lots of kind of music. And at one time we met each other.
Of course.
So another friend who did music.
Yeah, sure.
Since then I've been doing lots of different things. Yeah.
Well, there's a famous quote by a very famous man. It's called Leonard Bernstein. And well, he said about his youth, he said he was a weak boy. The day he found music and his piano to express himself, he said he became untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
No one could get him out of from its way, from its place to go, and so forth. And that's it, I guess. Huh?
Mm-hmm. One of my things, what I really love to do. Is to sing in the church also.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Nice. We used to sing in the church when I was smaller, but I still do it today.
Yeah.
Because when I sing in the church, you know, I don't need anybody around me, you know. It's just such a good feeling. And a lot of my songs which I sing are, you know, especially in the way of God, you know, and Christ. And I really love to sing them and to help people as well at certain times in life. There's so many beautiful songs.
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
And it's being grateful.
Yeah.
It's a gift from above.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And you got to give back something.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, but you want to give back, I guess.
Yeah. It's not about money or being famous or anything like that. It's never bothered me, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always sung because I wanted to.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because that's I enjoyed good. It, because, you know, it's just something fantastic. If you don't sing, you don't realize what it's like, or you don't play an instrument. You've got to, realize.
Living becomes a little more intense when singing, I guess.
Yeah,
might be that, but I don't know. Something to put it that way. Okay. I just heard you wrote poems. Have you ever written any songs yourself?
I did write some songs, but I never really. There were songs about my own life, but I never put them to music.
Right.
I had the music in my head. And I went through life sometimes when problems were there, and I used to just sing, make up my own songs, and somehow or other, I felt much better afterwards.
Oh, wonderful.
So I just carried on, but I never put them down on paper.
Yeah, so, all right.
So
maybe one day?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, just as we said, we got a certain way to look at things when you're a singer, when you're a musician, when you're an artist, whatever. Okay, so many beautiful things. But the present is very challenging, you see. We got this war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
We got a lot of trouble in Europe and elsewhere on a global scale. It's not easy. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Does music help you to deal with it? Can you make it? Can you combine some positive feelings when singing? Does it make you feel sad? What do you think about that?
Well, one part of my life, like I said to you before, I'm a very... I do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't believe in God, I don't think I would be here today.
All right.
Yeah, because you have to believe in something in your life. You have to have something there. And my father brought me up this way, you know, and it always helped me. So even nowadays, you know, prayer helps.
Of course it does, yeah.
Prayer, yeah. Music, two things together, actually, you know. And when all these problems are going on, and it's really hard sometimes when you see what's going on, but I think through my prayers, you know, I think it helps me also. And the music, you know, I listen to my own music, I listen to other people's music, I love to go through the streets, you know, when people are on the streets playing music.
Mm.
I love this kind of thing, and it really helps. You have to take time.
Yeah, sure.
You do have to take time. You can't just watch the TV and listen to the radio, and things just get high up, and sometimes then you get depressed through it all. I don't do that. I go out walking.
Yeah.
I go out to the fields. I go down to the parks, I appreciate what's around me.
And you got to take action yourself, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I've done all my life.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And a good song can be a prayer.
Exactly. Some beautiful songs.
Yeah, of course.
Some beautiful. It's not always. Sometimes you have to really listen to the words.
Mm.
Because people say, this song, no, this song, no. But if you listen to the words, yeah, it's all about, you know, believing.
It is.
Hoping, you know, love, you know, sharing. So many beautiful things, but some people just don't realize it, you know. And especially today, we have some beautiful songs, and also from the 70s and the 80s.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
In the church, I like to sing my own songs in the church. I like to sing folk songs because there's so many beautiful folk songs. One of the songs we sang together, I don't know if you remember the You've Got a Friend.
I do, yeah. Of course. Yeah, Carole King's song.
Yeah, when I sing that, I think of God, you know.
Yes, it is.
I really do, because I think
you're right.
A friend.
Yes.
Everybody has a friend,
of course,
you know.
Yeah. You're right. That's right.
Everybody's different, but I mean, everybody needs a friend at some time.
Of course.
And that's one of the songs. It was from James Taylor. It was so beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And there's so many songs like this. Oh, my father's favourite song was Amazing Grace.
That's
the Scottish hymn, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Beautiful.
And Sheila, I think we got to listen to that one now.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. Amazing Grace should be right now. But, all right, let's go for this one. Let's hear it.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sounds that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved.
So what does it mean to you, Christmas, the word Christmas? Is there anything that you can relate to when hearing this word, or what does it mean for you personally?
Well, Christmas, for me, is a reflection of the years gone by many times. The years as a child, being brought up from my mum and my dad and my sisters and my granddad. Going back over and remembering all the lovely times we had and spent together. You know, when you're a child, when we opened the presents, you didn't get all the presents like you did nowadays. You know, you had these special presents. And in England, Christmas Eve isn't that special. It's Christmas Day. And we used to get up in the middle of the night and go downstairs when Mum and Dad were asleep. Oh, my sisters, I was the first one and open all the presents.
Just the way kids do.
Yeah. I often think about it when I had my own son, Robert. You know, it was just so nice. I used to tell him all the stories. And today, it's a reflection of the last years, you know, what we've done, where we've been. You know, if there's things we still need to do, you know, in our future time and what we would like to do. It's happiness, being with families, values, you know. So many things, you know. I like the Christmas time to give a more chance to be more friendly to people, especially people on their own, because you never know what they're going through sometimes.
Of course.
And sometimes you never have the time.
Yeah.
You're always dashing around, working, doing this, doing that. And at Christmas time, it's time to slow down.
And there's a lot of rush these days, I guess.
Oh, definitely, definitely. People have no time anymore for each other.
You're right.
You know, we walk by each other and we just forget, you know. And it's just nice just to say hello or to smile, whether you know them or not, you know. And sometimes it does people really good that somebody speaks to them or says hello, you know. Especially a lot of people, you know, sleeping rough outside or older people, you know, wandering around. You know, they're all on their own. Maybe they've lost their husbands that year.
Yeah.
And so it's nice when you just say hello.
It's so precious, this one word, this one hello, or this little smile can do so much.
Yeah.
Can do so much good.
At Christmas time, I do like to be with my family, and my family is my son, And this year, I won't be spending time with my son, because this year I'm going to be a grandma.
There you go, wonderful.
And so I have to wait a little bit.
That's good,
that's good. The baby is due between Christmas and New Year, so... Grandma has to wait a little bit, and so then I'll be spending it with them at home here, and I'll be baking my Christmas cake, which I do every year. It's very special. My mum used to bake it at home, and now I make one myself now every year with marzipan on top of it, sugar icing on top of
Sounds so delicious. Yummy. Yeah, there you go. And you sing? Sing along baking? You sing when baking?
Yeah.
You go along and sing?
And I have a little glass of sherry.
Oh, wonderful.
That really does help, you know. It's supposed to go in the cake.
And that's, I guess that's tradition, huh? I guess that's
tradition.
That's tradition, yeah.
I've always had a glass of sherry. Always had a glass of sherry when she was baking the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I say, we have other things like Christmas pudding.
Hmm.
That's for Christmas Day. And the warm mince pies, which we made, you know,
like Lordy, Lord.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, it's getting delicious again. So many things make me smile right now, because there's something that comes in my mind, or to my mind right now. I remember the August of 2005. I can tell you, it's such a good time. I remember you standing with bare feet in my studio. The tiny mountain home studio in Einstein, up there on the mountain, and we got all the windows open. The sun was shining brightly, and it was warm and sunny, and we did all these winter tunes. Lovely.
Yeah.
The Christmas, the way we recorded this, I guess it's for sure. You need a recording Christmas album in summer, because otherwise you can't publish it in the winter. And so that's what we did. We recorded it in August. And published it in wintertime, of course, for close friends.
Yeah.
So any memories you got with that?
That was very beautiful memories, that was. In the summer, as you were saying, it was really warm. And barefoot, for me, it was just normal. Because a lot of times when we were on stage, if you remember, sometimes when we were singing, one time in the Irish pub and places like that, then I always took my shoes off. a very young lady in England in the 60s, Sandy Shaw, she used to always sing barefoot. Almost reminded me a little bit. I used to like wearing sandals, but it was nice to wear barefoot. But I remember because it was so warm.
Strange memories, but lovely. You know, all these Christmas songs, singing the falling snow, and the chill in the air, and you got the summer breeze coming in, the birds singing outside.
I remember one of the songs, though, we'd never even tried it out at all. It was just
recording it.
Sing a song, we're going to record it. And there we go. You know, we just went on the album, and that was really beautiful.
What sometimes amazes me is we never published it on the global scale.
No.
We did it for close friends, just as I mentioned before. Yeah. And it got quite successful, I guess.
Yeah. And it still is today, because people still say, oh, I listen to the CD, you know, at Christmas time. It plays, you know, all the time. And it's really, really nice, you know. And I'm happy then when people are happy, you know.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
It was made for people to be, you know, to feel comfortable at Christmas time, you know. To have nice memories also about the Christmas time.
For that reason, worth recording it?
Yeah.
For that
reason. It was really worth it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It was something really special. Because not everybody makes a Christmas album like we did. You know, it was all these beautiful songs, these Christmas carols. And not everybody does that.
And there was a lot of understanding.
Yeah.
Untold on a musical scale.
Yeah. You know,
we always did music together.
That's right,
almost in a blind way, you know, we understood each other.
Oh, yeah.
And you can hear that on that album.
Yeah.
Okay, that we did another album, but on this one you can still, it's very impressive, I guess.
Yeah. And the people, like you say, they realize it as well. They feel comfortable with it. And that's why it's played so many times.
Wonderful. Yeah. Time again to listen to it.
Yeah, all right.
There we go.
No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side till morning is nigh.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
For a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Yeah, we're slowly heading to an end of this episode. But there's one more question I'd like to ask to you, Sheila. Mm-hmm. And this would be about your personal Christmas. Is there any wish you have for yourself for this Christmas?
Yes, I've got quite a few wishes, actually, Marcus. One of them is to stay healthy for the next year.
Yeah.
Because, like I said to you, I'm going to be a grandmother between Christmas and New Year, my son Robert, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I just hope everything goes, you know, really well and the baby's healthy and everything. And then I'm hoping that next year that I manage to get home to England, back down to Whitby, to see my family in Loftus and places, because I've still got my three sisters in England, my nieces and nephews, and I've not been home for the last few years. And so I do wish I get home next year with Robert and the baby and his girlfriend Christina, and as I say, my husband, and that's one of my wishes. The Christmas time, you know, presents and everything, it doesn't really mean a lot to me. It never did. I think when you're a child, it's different. Yeah. But nowadays, it's more being together.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Children family. Need something to unwrap. Children need something to unwrap that's under right, the tree. Yeah, some presents, yeah.
But it's family together. And thinking about the ones that's not with us anymore also, you know. The ones that's left too soon.
Yeah.
You know, a time to think about those ones as well. And the Christmas times we spent with them as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the main things in my time. And I know I'm going to enjoy being at home with my little Christmas tree and my Christmas cake and my Christmas puddings.
Wonderful. Sounds so good.
And I'll be playing our Christmas music also.
Well, that's one word I can use now. Yeah. It sounds so cozy.
Yeah.
It sounds so cozy. This mellow sphere of Christmas, the family sphere.
Yeah.
Love that. Sounds good. Sounds good to me.
But those are my wishes. Not wonderful. Too many, but... very, very special.
Sheila, thank you so much for having you right inside this show. It was great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Marcus. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks so much. And have yourself a very, very Merry Christmas.
You too, Marcus.
I wish you Merry, Merry Christmas, and I wish you gifts under the tree, and all of the good gifts, presents to make you free, all of the Christmas cheer underneath your Christmas tree. I wish you some tiny little Christmas and songs to sing with your family. And I wish you stars shine all of your lifetime, an honest heart to embrace underneath your Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Marcus.
Merry Christmas, Sheila.
And that's it for the day. You won't find this music on any of the music outlets on the internet. It's only available on CD, the way we made it for our friends in 2005. And you can find Sheila on Facebook. Just have a look and follow this wonderful lady. I'm glad that I had a chance to share this conversation with you right here in this podcast. And now, have yourself a merry little Christmas, a happy new year, and God may bless you wherever you good people are. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.